to Podmon Adventure 02, the podcast where once I found an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know. Today we are watching episode 18 of Digimon 02, episode 72 of the franchise, Run Yoli Run. I'm here, Nolan's here, and how are you, buddy?
Like, I'm so good.
What's your week been like?
Oh man, you know, I got a new student this week, and his father recently passed. And I'm just his grandmother called me after his first lesson and was like, you know, he's been like sort of trapped in his room just playing VR and not really associating with anybody or like going outside or like going to any events or anything like that.
Yeah.
That their family's having, and that she would like for him to start, you know, having something that he can do. So I feel a lot of pressure in that in that aspect, but I don't know if that's something even a guitar teacher can really address, but
no.
I will do my best to get him to learn guitar and you know, be a positive influence.
Right.
I also lost my longest student this week, and because they got an internship at a local news station.
Oh, that's...
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And shitty at the same time.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I almost cried. We almost cried in the lesson. Because
yeah.
they started lessons with me when they first started high school, and it's kind of like a them becoming an adult sort of moment.
Yeah.
That they're having. But they have such a bright future ahead of them. I just, you know.
It's so interesting, right? Because on the one hand, all of my, like, most fruitful and deeply rooted human connections are from music, are from, like, people I've played with, and not even, like, directly played with, but bands that I've played with, like, shared bills with and everything. Like, there's such a communal part of it that I think is very good for a young person.
Absolutely.
To have that bonding that is not rooted in competition in the way that, like, sports or something is. But also, at the same time, nothing has given me a better excuse to lock myself in my room alone for days on end than music has.
Yeah, that's the thing about it, is like music can be a path towards hermitage. I saw a recent like study that was showing that like the degree of skill that you have in the guitar eventually starts to have a negative correlation towards your ability to like interact with the opposite sex.
So I must be great at guitar then.
So I mean, it's like it's a positive correlation up to a point, and
right.
then yeah, like which makes perfect sense, because how many fucking, you know, it's the gent meme of like while you were out at parties, I was studying the blade, you know.
Right, like I mean, yeah. The opposite sex or the same sex, whatever,
yeah,
whatever floats your boat. Like, yeah, they want to hear whatever, like, I guess Ed Sheeran or something. They want to hear like something like they like it to a point. But if you're just like, oh hey, I learned this song for you, and you just break into like some like Steve Vai or John Petrucci shit, they're like, that's great. Like,
it's a Tetra Structural Minds by Vector.
Right, right.
You know? It's
so,
like, okay. Yeah, cool.
So, like, I guess the point is, like, teach him well and encourage him to...
Don't get him that good at the guitar, because then he will not be able to get laid.
Yeah, don't get him too good so he doesn't get laid, but get him good enough that he can, and encourage him to join or start a band.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, I think you have to be self-motivated to even get to the point where you would approach, you know, ritually reforming your virginity through the use of the guitar.
Right.
You know?
So I mean, we just spent the last, like, 30 minutes talking about, like, the world and everything. So we won't rehash that, but critical support for the soul of Aaron Bushnell.
Absolutely.
And the stance of this podcast is Free Palestine. In the occupation, all of those things. If I'll actually try to link a few places that people can go to give support and buy things or just donate or whatever. But like I said, we won't dwell on the world too much. Sometimes I wish that we were just doing like one of those kind of things, but on the one hand, like Truanon and Chapo and Even More News and those kind of places.
Street Fight.
Yeah, they do it so well.
Yeah.
Like that I don't feel like that's it's needed, and also I don't want to be forced, even though I'm going to be pretty much every week, I don't want to be forced to be depressed about the state of the world every single week and commodify that depression.
I think that like the kind of alchemy with it and why the Chapo guys are so funny, and you know, same with the rest of those people, is that it is like you have to develop that level of humor and as a defense mechanism towards like just directly looking into the eye of the void constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, looking to the eye of the void and making a silly face to cope with it.
Which I'm capable of like 70% of the time, but that 30% that I can't do it, it is like fatal.
and would be recording night.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, moving on to the thing that I don't feel like the market is completely saturated on. We're going to talk about an episode of Digimon like we do every week here on the podcast. So, as is tradition, divine for me the...
This one's called Run, Yoli, Run.
Run,
right?
Yoli, Run, okay. Yeah.
So what I'm guessing is that Yoli, in an attempt to get publicity and support for her parents' convenience store, is going to start competitive running. In doing so, she will eventually try to gather sponsorships and make it to the Olympics. Tragically, she worries that another runner with better times is going to, usurp her throne as the running champion of Japan.
Right.
And so she has something of a hit put out on her opponent. Wherein they're supposed to bash their legs in with a metal, bat or pipe or whatever. In doing so, it becomes a national scandal that can only be sort of undone by Yoli's winning through the use of her Digimon. She, for the first time ever, accesses a Digi-Armor Evolution in the real world and uses it to beat her previous time by up to 3 seconds. May that sound like a lot? It's an insane amount of time in running.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's exciting. Last week you predicted a Digi-Evolution, and I don't think it happened.
I don't think anybody evolved last.
Yeah, the
in-trainings
evolved to rookies, but they didn't do actual like to armor or whatever.
Yeah,
which is so bold move, but we'll see how it plays out for you. We will we'll be right back. We're gonna go watch that and come back and talk about it. You know how. All right, and welcome back.
Hmm.
You know, it's weird. I think this is our first, like, character focus episode this season that wasn't a Digivolution episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's weird that it was Yoli.
That is weird.
But, I mean, what are your other... Well, okay, the Kari, the Dark Ocean episode with Kari.
Yeah, yeah.
But with the new kids, it's our first time we've gotten, like, I feel like we've gotten a character focused episode that they wouldn't have, like, a Digivolution in that episode. Is that it's weird that it's Yoli, but are the other options that much better?
Yeah, Davis's defining quality is that he doesn't have any depth.
Right.
And Cody is just, we've just addressed his, like, main deal with the, what's the shitty Digi-Armor?
Oh, Samarimon?
Samarimon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go from the top. So the kids, along with Ty and Izzy, are searching for the Digimon Emperor as they do. Cody and Izzy, along with Tentomon and Armadillomon, I don't know why I couldn't remember that. They find just a field of control spires, just hundreds of them.
Yep.
And what turns out to be the Digimon Emperor's base. There's a swarm of evil, well, evil, dark-ringed Digimon. Digmon fights them off. The Emperor shows up on a Devidramon. Tentomon tries to Digivolve and fails, but Digmon pops out and saves them. Very ominously, the Emperor, seeing Kabuterimon for the first time, apparently, says he's going to add him to his collection.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going on there? Like, what do you think the Digimon Emperor's
collection
is?
Yeah. I guess Digimon in his employ? Digimon dark spiraled?
Do you think he's going to, like, try to repeat the Greymon experiment with the others? Okay.
Yeah. Wait, that's what made him want the spirals, right? Instead of the rings?
Yeah.
So maybe this is going to be, like, the culmination of that sort of plan of getting stronger Digimon under his employ.
Okay. I know what it's leading to, but, like, actually watching it with a critical eye for the first time in a long time and trying to watch it, like, with a new perspective of it, it is interesting how it sets up where it's going without giving it away, which is probably, like, took every bit of restraint they had not to just say what was going to happen in the next three episodes.
Yeah. I think he also has a cadre of bugs that he fucks.
Yeah.
So, along with Wormmon.
Right,
know,
yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
That's why he's not interested in Yoli whenever she hits on him.
It has nothing to do with, like, defeating the kids or taking over the digital world or whatever. It's all just, like...
Yeah. Because he could get
fetish.
Some slime and still pull that off, you know?
Right.
But he, no, he's totally focused on bug fucking.
Yeah. Back in the real world at Izzy's house, in examining the Emperor's territory, Izzy has noticed a pattern of the spires. They're all emanating out from the base. And so the kids decide to destroy the base, and they realize that they have to agree that they don't come back home and or back to the real world until the job is done. And God, I wish that we'd established. I mean, it's good to have it for this, like, finale of the arc. But God, I wish that, like, they'd established these stakes, like...
Beforehand?
Beforehand, yeah. Because, like, they were built into the first season. And so, like, it was just, like, part of it. The kids were just trapped there. They couldn't go home. That was part of the, like, of the adventure aspect of it and of the stakes and of the danger the kids were in. But since they have been able to just come and go as they please up to this point, and it's self-imposed stakes, but at least they're there in this case. It's hard to feel like there's any real danger or threat to them this season, or that they are to feel like they are as involved and invested.
It seems more like an after school club that they have.
Yeah, exactly.
Than like a world ending catastrophe like
right.
the first season did.
The first kids had to actually live in this world for God knows how many months or years from their like perspective and experience of the time dilation. So they had like actual emotional investment in the world and in the other Digimon and everything that they, so it's believable that they would risk so much to save them. I don't really buy that with this group. And it's also the fact that it's a sequel series, but I can't think of any, you know, besides our partner Digimon, I can't think of any new Digimon that they've met and established relationships with that I could believe they would want to care that much about. Like, we've seen Andromon again, for whatever reason, yeah. Leomon hasn't shown up. Waymon, the Geckomons, a few others, but they're all holdovers from the first season, and so their relationship to them is by proxy. They haven't made any relationships with any other Digimon that I could believe they would actually care about this world at the same level the first kids did.
The closest thing I could think is like the weird Western Sheriff and Deputymon.
Yeah, okay, that is one. That is fair. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but otherwise it's just like kind of a greatest hits of the first season
right.
vibe.
The older kids realize that they would be useless with all the control spires around, but Ty has the brilliant and selfless idea to go camping to cover them while they're in the digital world. But as Izzy's mom points out, they are 14. They will need a chaperone, so Matt drafts his dad to chaperone them. Back at Davis's house, his sister June notices that he is packing for a camping trip and, correctly assuming that Matt is going, invites herself.
Huge mistake.
Yeah, very huge mistake.
Oh, my God.
Yoli doesn't want to miss her soap operas, but
that's her only conflict. She's like up at night.
Yeah, that is her only conflict. But the next morning, Yoli is just hard overcompensating. And I say that as a straight white man. I know what overcompensating looks like. Yeah, she's just too hype, too much. And as the older kids get loaded up, June meets up with them. This might be in a show about like world-ending monsters and forcing children to fight them. This might be the most cruel thing in the last 72 episodes. So Matt gets out to talk to June, and she's all excited about a romantic getaway together.
To quote-unquote find a way to get rid of her.
Right.
Should not start off good anyway.
No. So Matt tells her that he has a present for her, but he forgot to wrap it, so he needs her to close her eyes and count to 10. And if you haven't watched the episode, you can already predict where this is going.
Yeah, well, the other two boys chuckle in the back seat.
Right.
They just drive off and leave.
Yeah.
They leave June to just, is it June?
June, yeah.
June to just, and she has a very, like, measured response.
Right.
She's just like, where's my present?
Right.
Whereas an actual teenage girl, if you did this to her, would immediately start cutting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
You just sold another My Chemical Romance discography, my friend.
I mean, hey, Matt's in a band. It might be like.
Yeah. Whatever the opposite of that genre is to her, that's what she'll be into.
So with that war crime done, back in the digital world, the base is gone. And nobody knows what happened, but Yoli thinks it flew away. Hawkmind gaslights her and's like, well, someone would have seen it. And since Tentomon was the one watching the area, Yoli blames Tentomon for letting it get away.
Yeah. And Hawkmon immediately apologizes for her.
Right. Yoli, still just being on one, goes off to down into the hole where the base was. To look for clues or something. And Hawkmon tries to mansplain to her why she's just being too much and is being too emotional right now. When Dokugumon attacks them, Hawkmon jumps in the way and takes the hit. Flamedramon fights him as the others pull Yoli and Hawkmon up to safety. Flamedramon wins, but Hawkmon is injured. Yoli stays behind to care for Hawkmon, and Kari and Gatomon stay behind too, just so there's a functioning Digimon around to protect them if anybody shows up. Kari tells Yoli that basically that she's fucking up, and she. And Kari says that she did the same thing once, too. I guess she's talking about whenever she, like, offered herself up to Myotismon. I guess that's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Gatomon goes off to look for herbs. Meanwhile, the
catnip.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she finds catnip, yeah. The others are searching for the base. And Cody sees a shadow of something. Meanwhile, the Digimon Emperor and Wormmon are working on something, and they're cycling through, like, pictures of bugs and Garurumon's legs and
yep. Nothing weird there.
Right. What's the, is it right? Like, now swipe right on that one.
Swipe left is when it's bad. Swipe
okay,
right.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Mm, swipe, yeah, swipe left on that one.
Too furry.
Yeah.
No. Need a nice thorax to rub up against.
Hawkmon wakes up and Gatomon comes back with catnip. Yoli and Hawkmon have a heart-to-heart. Yoli's basically like, you know, if you don't want to be my partner anymore, I understand. And Hawkmon is sweet. He's like, oh, those are the things that I love about you. But also, I don't think it works that way. I think we have, like, bonded together. I don't think I can get out of this.
Which is informing my decision to accept you for all of your faults.
Exactly, yeah. Till death do you part with a gun to your head.
Yeah.
Hawkmon does some physical therapy and thanks Gatomon for finding the catnip, which leads me to the question of this episode. Does catnip actually have medicinal properties? I thought it was just drugs.
I have never had to consider the medicinal properties of catnip. I always just assumed it was like, you know, it was like cocaine for cats.
Right, yeah.
I can't imagine how that would get their response, though. I mean, I don't know. They've got different metabolisms. I'm sure they could get fucked up on some catnip.
Historically, catnip was used for diarrhea, gas, and stomach cramps.
It Damn.
Said, right.
If only.
Fucking Marigold was holding out on you the whole time. It's said to relieve muscle spasms in the intestinal tract. The dry leaves.
Damn.
The dry leaves have been smoked to relieve respiratory ailments.
What?
Yeah. But
smoking catnip?
Yeah. But I see nothing about it helping, like, broken bones. So.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, he got poisoned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 So, which, for some reason, he still had, like,
right.
a bandage around right. his abdomen, you know, when you get poisoned and you need that.
Okay, so, yeah, maybe it was, like, maybe it attacked his intestine.
He was really just shitting himself to yeah. death. You know, it was like giving him
right.
dysentery. So, like,
yeah, it should have been a diaper. It's what they should have put on him. but yeah, the Digimon Emperor is working on something, as we established earlier, and that's the episode. So first, as always, you got any quotes for us?
Oh, hell yeah. This actually had probably one of the higher joke densities of any episode that we've had recently. Let's see. Oh, yeah. In the first conflict, Tentomon is trying to digivolve despite, you know, the rings or whatever. And he says, Tentomon, digivolve too. Forget it. Which is just kind of silly. A little silly line there. There must have been a control spire convention in town, is something that Davis says whenever they first discover all of the control spires.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's very characteristically brain damaged of him to say. Again, Davis, whenever they're deciding on their plan, they ask if Davis's parents will believe his cockamamie story. And he says, of course not. They don't believe anything I say, which is probably good for them. And then, whenever Matt and TK are trying to convince their dad to go camping with them, they say, tell us about the time you were chased by a grizzly bear, meaning that he has actually been attacked out in... But also, there are no grizzly bears in Japan, so what the fuck are they talking about? Like, did
right.
he like go out of the country for a camping trick? Okay, whenever Yoli decides that she's going to forego her soap operas to join the team... in her mind, as she's sleeping, she chants to herself, go Yoli, go Yoli, go.
To the tune and cadence of the ninja rap from
exactly.
Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ninja, go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So, yeah, that's a weird, like, turducken kind of thing. whenever Yoli, when she's newly inspired the next day, is marching around the rest of the kids, TK says, you've got a lot to learn. No, Matt walks in after TK says that she, he calls her sir.
Right.
And then Matt says, you've got a lot to learn about women, TK, which is ironic considering what's about to happen.
Right.
Well,
and they lampshade yeah. it because his dad says the same thing.
For sure. Whenever Izzy and Iron backseat waiting on Matt to return. Izzy's like, man, Matt sure does get a lot of pussy, huh? And Ty, and Ty's like, I know exactly how he feels.
Yeah.
Which, you know, citation needed. But, yeah, then whenever Matt gets back in the car, his dad says, I know, you know,
yeah.
you've got lots to learn about women, Matt, which is very true because he's going to get stabbed to death whenever he comes back home.
Right.
Davis thinks that the Digimon Emperor's facility or his fortress or whatever
mm-hmm.
is a garage, and the gang is like, "Do you mean Mirage, like an illusion?" And he's like, "No, I mean the place where he keeps his car."
Right.
So yeah, oh wow, Davis, you're okay. I didn't expect there to be diversity hires in the in the Digi Destined, but yeah.
Well, it is a bold move making, like, ostensibly the quote-unquote leader of the group be the group dumbass.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's like Goku type vibes, but if Goku also couldn't fight.
Right, but also, like, I think that is the, like, the interesting thing about Goku is he's just a hero by circumstance. Like,
yeah.
I would never think of Goku as, he's the strongest, sure. I would never think of Goku as being, like, the leader of the Z Fighters.
Yeah.
Because he is a...
It's almost Krillin, honestly.
Yeah. Krillin or...
Krillin's like the heart of the team, I guess.
Or Piccolo.
Yeah.
Or even, at times, Gohan. But Goku is such a brain-damaged yokel.
Yeah.
That, like, that is kind of the point, is that he's not a hero. He's just a good guy who likes fighting.
Yeah.
But that's not, like...
Honestly... You know what's weird? Like he's motivated by an ascent to power, which is like almost exclusively seen as a villainous trait.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's strange that like Goku's like lust for strength.
I don't know that it's necessarily a lust for strength as much as it's for challenge.
Yeah, he wants to fight strong guys. So it's like he by way of getting to fight the strongest people, he has to become stronger.
Right.
Which I guess is a little conceptually different than just like wanting power for power's sake.
Right. I think like if it weren't for the whole like Saiyan bit of it, and since that is retroactive, just the innate escalation of the genre, I think that Goku the character would be happy if he was still just as strong as he was in the first martial arts tournament and just kept fighting people that were stronger than him. But since he fights people, beats them, gets stronger, the next opponent has to be stronger to challenge him. He has to get stronger and just becomes the cycle that ends up where we end up now. Where it, yeah. but Davis isn't that.
No,
so
Davis
like,
is...
So Davis being a dumbass is... more interesting because he is like typecast as a hero.
Yeah. And I think that all of the Digi-Destined would step up and like sacrifice themselves.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's just that Davis does so guilelessly and so
right.
Like I think if he was just honestly if why am I forgetting your name? Fucking Jesus.
Kari.
Yeah. Yes. if she would kiss him on the cheek, then he was just like, he would just like keel over and die out of satisfaction.
Right.
So like, be his main motivation. Yeah. He honestly just wants respect and love,
right.
And he can't get either of them. He's kind of a tragic character.
Absolutely.
Oh man.
But sorry to divert you anymore from that.
The next line is, "Don't worry about us. We've got Davis. What could possibly go wrong?" Said sarcastically by his best friend.
the monster that pet
soulbound to him. Oh my god. Yeah, and then finally Hawkmon, whenever he wakes up, and Yoli asked what she can do to help him, he just says, "Just get off my tail." So it's just a nice little, it's kind of like a Mel Brooks sort of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it for this episode. Kind of a good amount of jokes.
Yeah,
and I didn't even write down all of them, but that was the ones that just stuck with me.
Right. Well, the jokes made up for the lack of an interesting Antagamon this episode.
Yeah, fucking what the fuck is with that spider thing? What was it, Gokumon?
Yeah. Dokugumon.
Kind of a cool design, but basically all it did was light up like a circus game and shoot a purple
mist thing.
Yeah. the diarrhea mist. But
Gateway.
Yeah.
And
what this episode?
Yes, this episode.
You know, there were moments. I feel like if the sort of like alchemy of like what characters we decided to focus on and what happened, like in regards to the sort of resolution, we could get into some higher rated territory.
Right.
Like I was almost thinking Fabergé egg, but then it, like as the episode wore on, there we just spend a little bit too much time sort of like motionless in bedrooms again, and with a lot of conversations that aren't necessarily moving the plot forward of adults who are conspicuously covering their mouths while they're talking.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say good egg.
I don't think there's anything like...
There's nothing bad about this episode.
Right. I actually... Yeah, I agree with good egg.
And I appreciated the variety of environments, and it just, like, the scope feels, like, different. Even if there's not a lot of motion in each frame, it seems like there is just sort of like I got a sense of like the community that they've built just by being like Digimon people.
Right.
Yeah.
And I actually like the bedroom scenes.
It is nice to see them just hanging out.
Yeah. And like them strategizing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is nice and like acting like a coherent unit or whatever. But yeah, I don't think that there's, I don't know what it would if it would need less of the like the adult stuff or of the June stuff or more of an actual like threat or what to bump it up to a Fabergé egg. But like I said, I don't think there's enough to bring it down to bad. It's a good egg. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that is the where we end off today. We'll be back next week with episode 19, which is called something. An old enemy returns.
Ooh. Mm. Oh fuck.
Yeah.
I bet it's fuck. Well, Devimon was kind of ominous whenever he passed away. Was that a Yoda? Was that a Yoda impression? Devimon returns, maybe.
Return Devimon, guys. Well, we will.
Sparks does the Digimon Emperor.
We'll talk about that next week and get our answer, whatever it might be, when we do the next week. Goodbye.